RNZ Pacific News, Malolo Soifua, I'm Lydia Lewis. The Northern Marianas' first Indigenous and first woman chief judge has been sworn in for a second 10-year term. Chief Judge Ramona Manglona was appointed by President Joe Biden last week for another 10-year term as a judge of the U.S. District Court for the NMI on April 18th. Ms. Manglona became a federal judge in 2011 when President Obama first appointed her. She is the first person from the Northern Mariana Islands to serve as a federal judge. In 2002, she served as the Northern Marianas Attorney General. Men across the Pacific are being urged to deal with trauma in an effort to break cycles of domestic violence. A social worker and lecturer, Genevieve Sanyum, runs programs which support Māori and Pacific offenders in Aotearoa, New Zealand, break cycles of violence. She's been helping men reframe how they treat their partners.
A lot of our male Pacific people probably have never had the opportunity to talk about their upbringing, talk about the trauma that they experienced in their lives growing up. A lot of these men suppress their issues because they've been taught that they need to just deal with it.
Genevieve Sanyum says misinterpretation of the Bible is fostering a rise in domestic violence across New Zealand within Pacific migrant families. New research on the Hungatonga Hungahapai eruption suggests it was caused by a gas-driven climatic explosion rather than magma and water reacting violently through a water column. Tsunami waves generated by the January 15, 2022 eruption killed three people and resulted in damage to thousands of homes and infrastructure in the kingdom. Alicia Foon has more.
The research presents a new evidence-based model describing how the formation of a gas seal led to the amassing and release of enough explosive energy within minutes to form a 58-kilometre-high ash plume. The authors contend a gas-driven trigger is probable based on the eruption magnitude, the time sequence of the event, the mass amounts of volcanic gas release, the remaining volcano structure, and the presence of minerals formed through magmatic gas interactions with the surrounding rock. The paper led by the Australian National University in collaboration with GNS Science in Aotearoa is published in the International Journal of Volcanology and Geothermal Research.
Australian law enforcement authorities have intercepted a cargo pallets containing 289 kilograms of cocaine on a flight from Papua New Guinea. The national newspaper reports the cargo had been flagged as suspicious. The cocaine was seized and replaced with a harmless substance before police allowed the pallets to be collected, upon which the suspect was arrested. The cocaine has an estimated street value of 94 million Australian dollars. The Itauke Land Trust Board says they are still focused on assisting landowners in maximising returns from their land. FBC News says Interim Chief Executive Solomoni Nata has confirmed they are working with the mandate approved by the Great Council of Chiefs. He says a team is continuing consultation with landowners and they have visited 40 out of the 77 districts in Fiji. The board has established a wealth fund and other initiatives to help landowners develop their property and generate income. A GCC review team reports says landowners feel the Itauke Land Trust Board is out of touch and disconnected from many landowning units. Anzac Day services in Gallipoli are underway, with New Zealand Defence Force representatives playing a full part and the Deputy Prime Minister of New Zealand speaking at the dawn service. Earlier, there had been uncertainty after NZDF uniforms and band equipment were lost in transit during the Dubai floods last week. NZDF Gallipoli lead John McLeod says members without roles in the ceremony have been given their uniforms for the service, and in a true sign of Anzac spirit, a member of Australia's Defence Force Band has loaned a bugle to New Zealand's bugler for the last post. The Deputy Prime Minister is due to make his Anzac commemorative address around now. Back in New Zealand, a group of people at New Plymouth's Anzac Day Dawn service have had to manually lift a car before proceedings kicked off this morning. A congregation of about 15 attendees is seen lifting the car and putting it back down 2 metres to the side in a post to social media. New Plymouth RSA President Graham Chard, who rallied the troops to action, says the car was in the worst possible location.
We identified a couple of police who were preparing to march on the parade. We got authority to be able to shift the car so that we wouldn't have somebody trying to take the RSA to court afterwards, and mobilised as many people as we needed to be able to pick the car up and move it far enough away to be able to conduct our dawn service.
Reuben Doyle says 5 o'clock in the morning is a tough time to order a tow truck. The Return Services Association in Cook Island says young people play an important part in Anzac Day commemorations. The president of the RSA, Peter Wichman, says he appreciates seeing so many young people taking part in the commemorations.
So many young people, they partake in such rituals at the Odor Remembrance, the Flanders Field, and of course we try and impart on them as to why it's important. We here at the RSA, we have a board in front of us, talking about the soldiers that went to war in World War One. So we have, as Cook Islands, been involved in conflict since World War One.
Mr. Wichman says the RSA wants to share that history with young people in the country. Commemorations in Cook Islands take place tomorrow. In world news, Kenya weather forecasters have warned that more heavy rain is expected after 50 people died in flooding. The BBC's Anthony Ugango reports from Nairobi.
The Kenyan capital, Nairobi, is among the worst affected regions, with thousands of people displaced and homes submerged in flood waters. According to the police, at least 10 bodies have been retrieved in Nairobi's informal settlements. More people are still unaccounted for. Videos circulating on social media show houses submerged in flood water, forcing people to call for help from rooftops. According to the Nairobi County Governor's Office, an estimated 60,000 people, mostly women and children, have been severely affected by the flash floods.
Houthi militants in Yemen have attacked what they said were 2 American ships and an Israeli vessel. It's the first such attack in more than 2 weeks. The Iran-aligned group said it targeted the U.S. ship at an American destroyer in the Gulf of Aden and Israeli ship MSC Veracruz in the Indian Ocean. Yemen's Houthis have been attacking ships since November in what they say is a campaign of solidarity with Palestinian fighting in Israel and Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister has weighed in to the growing protests on US college campuses against the war in Gaza. Tensions have become heightened on some campuses, with law enforcement clashing with students. Benjamin Netanyahu says the response of several university administrations has been shameful.
What's happening on America's college campuses is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel. They attack Jewish students. They attack Jewish faculty. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. It's unconscionable. It has to be stopped. It has to be condemned, and condemned unequivocally.
The US President Joe Biden has backed the right for people to protest. In sport, Cook Islands has high hopes of hosting the 2029 Pacific Games. The Pacific Games Council says President Vidya Lakam met with Executive Board of Cook Islands Sports and National Olympic Committee in Rarotonga on Wednesday. Lakam was also holding meetings with different stakeholders, including Cook Islands Prime Minister Mark Brown, the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Sport, the opposition leader and members of the federations of the 15 sports listed on the bid. Earlier this week, Lakan visited French Polynesia, the host of the 2027 Pacific Games. PNG Hunters rugby league coach Paul Layton says visa issues are keeping several top players from playing away games. Post Courier reports that Ayton is concerned Robert Mathis and Valentin Richard are missing out on travelling to play outside the country. The players are expected to also miss the next 2 away games against the Bears and Blackhawks in Australia. The prolonged visa issues have also seen Richard opting out of his contract with Central Queensland Capra. And that's the latest news and sport for RNZ Pacific. You can read more on our website, rnzi.com.